I want to invite you to pull your message notes out. We're in this series that we're calling Next, because every single one of us have a next step in our spiritual journey, in our faith journey. We've all got a next step. I've been a pastor now for almost 20 years. I have a next step in my journey. I have not arrived yet. Like, I still have, you know, steps and places to go. So I just want to make it clear, every one of us have a next step in our spiritual journey. And some of us have next steps in different areas, like in our marriage or in our parenting. There's a variety of areas where we have next steps, and we want to get clarity as we begin 2019 for what those steps are so that this can really be one of the greatest years of our life. Because understanding that we are spirit beings, like we are spirits that inhabit a body, we're not bodies that have a spirit, we're spirits that have a body. This could be the greatest year of your life if you made it the greatest year of your life spiritually. If you spiritually went to a new level this year, this potentially could be the greatest year of your life. So we want to get some clarity. So I want to give you some keys in taking those next steps, some keys to really being effective at next steps. It's what I call, the title of the message is aligned with purpose. If you're going to be effective at taking next steps in your life, you've got to be aligned with purpose. And there's two key words there. There's alignment and there's purpose, and they both matter. Let me help you understand how important alignment is. About 4 years ago, I began to have, like, just, it was horrible hip pain and knee pain, and my shins were aching. And Sunday afternoon, when I would get done, you know, standing on stage for three different services, and I would go home Sunday afternoon, I would almost be in tears because of the pain. Like, it was agony. Like I was hurting so bad that I honestly believe that I was going to be paralyzed by the time I was 50. I didn't believe I was going to be able to walk. I thought my body was literally decaying and deteriorating because of the pain that I had. Well, about that time, I was on my first trip to Israel, and my accountability partner, who's in our church with us, was with me on the trip, and I was just complaining to him about all this pain, like my hips and my knees and my shin. I just hate walking around all day because it's just it's just aching everywhere. He says, "Why don't you go get your feet checked out?" And I said, "You're not listening to me. My feet's not the problem. I'm telling you, it's my hips, my knees, my shins. Like something is wrong, you know, with my legs. My feet are fine. It's everything else that's hurting." He said, "Trust me, go get your feet checked out." And so, you know, I trusted him, and I went to the foot doc, what do you call them? Like the orthodontist, because they make orthotics? No, the podiatrist, right. No, the orthodontist is the other one. I always think like the orthodontist makes the orthotics, but that's a completely different one. So I went to the podiatrist, and he looked at my feet, and he told me, you have the worst feet I've ever seen. They're like worse than an 80-year-old, you know, I mean, they're bad. I mean, he said they honestly are the worst feet I've ever seen. They're so flat-footed, and they roll in. He says, "I'm going to put you on some orthotics. That's what you need, orthotics." I said, "Well, that's great that my feet are bad, but my feet aren't what's causing the problem right now. The problem is my knees and my hips and everything else." And he said, "No, you don't understand. You're out of alignment." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Your feet aren't aligned, and as a result, it's causing pain and problems in other areas." Do you understand how important alignment is? See, some of you are having pain and problems in these areas of your life. Like, you're having pain over here, but that's not actually the problem. The problem is over here. It's because you're not aligned over here. You're not aligned with your purpose. And as a result of not being aligned with your purpose, it's manifesting in your marriage. It's manifesting in your parenting. It's manifesting in the workplace. Like, you're having all this pain in all these different areas because you're not aligned where you need to be aligned. And nothing brings greater definition in life than purpose. Like, nothing helps you define your calendar, define your time, define your finances, define your marriage more than understanding why you are on planet Earth. So let me help you understand why alignment is so critical. First off, because I have a purpose. The reason it's important for me to be aligned is because I do have a purpose. God created me for a reason. Every single person here today is on planet Earth for a reason. God created you on purpose. Ephesians says you are His workmanship, and He created you for things that He prepared in advance for you to do. God has a plan for your life. Psalm 139 puts it like this: "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So you wrote a book about my life, and you wrote the book before I was ever born. Like, you had a plan. You had days ordained for me before I was ever born, before I was put on planet Earth. You had this book, this plan for my life written out. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, well, that's great, but I've added some pages to the book that weren't ordained by God. Like, for me, I added whole chapters to my book that God never intended, never ordained, and never planned. And you may feel like I've blown it. Like, God had this beautiful script written for my life, but I've gone off script. Like I've rewritten the story, and I've taken my life in a direction that God never intended to go, and I don't know how I'm going to get it back. Well, here's the good news. God has this incredible ability to add chapters to your life that always fit, no matter how many chapters you've added previously. And the only thing that really matters is the last chapter, and God can rewrite the ending to your story, no matter how far off script you've taken it. You see, when you surrender your life to Jesus, He will realign your life to His purpose and bring you back to where you were created to be. This is why we say we live by design and not by default. Now, I need to stop for a moment, take a time out, and help you understand kind of my mythology in doing my notes and my points up here, because every time I do something like this, everyone's like looking around for the fill in the blank because they can't find the fill in the blank. So let me help you understand the way I think. These are just great quotes. If you don't see an underlying word, there's not a fill in the blank. So I hope that helps you out, because every time I do this, I always see people like looking around in their notes like, I don't see this one. Like, do I have the wrong note? Is this the wrong week? No, you've got the right week. I just like to add powerful quotes to the message that may or may not be in your notes. So if you don't see an underlined word, it's not part of one of your fill in the blanks. So that's the code for understanding how I do this up here. I felt like I needed to do that because every week I see it happening. All right, let's move on. Another reason why alignment is so important is because there is competition for my time and attention. There is a lot of competition for your time. Think about it like this. Do you realize the credit card companies have a plan for your life? Yeah. They got like master strategies for your life. There is a lot of competition for your time and for your attention. And the problem is, we live in a culture today with this mantra that so many people in our world today live by that simply says, more is
better.
Yeah, you all knew it. More is better. One house is good, but two houses is? Yeah, $1 is good, but $2 is? Yeah, one car is nice, but two cars is? Yeah, it's this mantra we live by in the world today, but can I tell you, more is not always better. Let me give you a truth. An overwhelmed schedule will often produce an underwhelmed soul. Some of you are so busy, you're running yourself ragged, you got so much going on in your life that your soul is literally falling apart. And now what's going on is you're trying to fix some pain that's happening over here, but it really has nothing to do with what's happening over here. It's because you're out of alignment over here. Like, you think it's this, but it's really that. The wealthiest person to ever live, the guy who experienced everything, did everything you could possibly imagine, was King Solomon in the Bible. In his book, Ecclesiastes, here's what he said. Better one handful. This is the wealthiest person to ever live. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Sometimes it's better to have a little bit in peace of mind than to have more, and to be running ragged, and to be falling apart, and to be like exhausted on the inside. And here's the last reason why alignment is so critical, and it's because time is short. Time is short. And on two levels, time is short. The first level is just for you personally. Time is short. Like, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but I need to let you know that you are one day closer today to the end of your life than you were yesterday. Like, I know you came to church to be encouraged today, and that's not very encouraging, but it's true. Time is short. And not just for you, but on a second level, for the world that we live in. Now, I'm not an eschatologist. An eschatologist is somebody who studies the Bible prophecies and the end times, and they try to predict when Jesus is coming back, like the hour and minute when Jesus is going to return. That's what eschatologists do, and really none of them know, because Jesus said, I don't even know. Only my dad knows. Like, I don't even know when he's going to send me back. My dad knows, and so I'm just waiting on him. But I can tell you that when I read and study the Bible, there are so many places in the Bible that say, when you see this happening, look up because your Redeemer is close. Jesus is about to return. And I'm telling you right now that I don't see any end time prophecy in the Bible that has not already been fulfilled or is currently being fulfilled. And so what I personally believe is I believe we are in the last days. Not only the last days, I believe we are in the last of the last days. I believe Jesus is going to return in my lifetime, is what I personally believe. Now, what does all that mean? This is not a time to live a casual Christian life. This is a time to live intentional, to live on purpose, to be focused about our life. James, one of the great church leaders, and actually the brother of Jesus, wrote to the church in his book, he said, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we're going to go to this or that city, we may spend a year there, we'll carry on business, make money. Look how casual this is. We're just going to live our life, and we really don't know. We may go over here, we may go over there, we're going to do a little bit of this, we're going to do a little bit of that. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. Why are you being so casual? You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. He says, what is your life? You are a mist. If you have a hot water kettle at home, you ever seen the vapor that comes off, you know, the kettle, and you see it for a second, and then all of a sudden it disappears? That's what this word is in the Greek. He says, you're a mist that appears for a little while, and then it vanishes. James says, instead, you ought to say, this is how you should live your life, if it's the Lord's will. If it's God's plan for me, if it's God's purpose for my life, that is what we're going to do. Like, I'm going to be aligned with God's purpose for my life. I'm going to do it. God, I'm not going to live casually. I'm not just going to live however I want to live. I'm going to align with God's purpose for my life because God has a plan for me. So what is God's will for you? What is His purpose? What is His plan for you? John Maxwell, one of my favorite leadership authors, he used to pastor here in San Diego County. In one of his leadership books he wrote years ago called Today Matters, he had a quote that always stuck with me. He says, what if today is the day that you will be remembered forever? Think about that. What if today is the day that you're going to have that chance encounter, that you're going to have that opportunity, that you'll have that conversation where you literally will impact eternity in such a significant way that you'll be remembered forever? I truly believe every human on earth will have that opportunity at least once. The problem is, I don't think we'll really know until we get to heaven when and where it was. That's why we have to live on purpose every day, stay focused every day, which means we're going to have to make some changes. So let me give you some advice. I'll never change my life until I change something I do every day. Like, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. And so this is a year of next steps. This is a year of let's move forward and take some next steps. So how do we take next steps? How do we get aligned with our purpose? How do I take a next step in aligning my life with the purpose that God has for me? I'm going to give you four very simple, very powerful, very biblical principles on how to take steps in aligning with your purpose. Here's number one. You got to decide what is important. You have to decide what is important in your marriage. What is important in your family? What is important in your finances? What is important in your time, in your calendar, in your schedule? You have to decide. Because the truth is, most of our life is dependent on what is urgent and not what is important. If you look at your life, most of what consumes your time is the urgent, not the important. Because the urgent is louder. It screams for your attention. And I'm telling you right now, nobody on their deathbed will ever say, I wish I would have spent 2 more hours in the office. Like, nobody will ever say that. So let me ask you, have you ever gone through an exercise where you've really decided what is important? Have you, like, listed your priorities? What are our family values? What are our family priorities? Like, have you ever done this with your small group? Like, maybe that's a great thing to do this year with your small group. Say, hey, let's get together and let's do an exercise of really identifying what is important to us. Maybe in your marriage, maybe just you and God alone. Spend some time and make some decisions, because there's always going to be urgent clamoring for your attention. You've got to decide what really matters. You've got to decide what is important in your life. It reminds me of a joke I heard about a guy. He was an Oakland Raiders fan, and they were in the Super Bowl. That's how you know this isn't a true story. But for all the Raider fans. I'm a Raiders fan, so sorry. So he's an Oakland Raiders fan. They're in the Super Bowl, and he's got two incredible tickets, like 50-yard line, the best seats in the entire place. And he's sitting there in the seat next to him. His second ticket is empty. And so people around him are looking at him like, why do you have an empty seat? Like, who's that seat for? Like, did somebody not be able to make it? He said, oh, that was for my wife. They're like, well, where is your wife? Why isn't she here? He says, she died. And but this is her seat. And they're like, wow, that is like, we've never seen anybody love their wife so much that he would honor her by holding her seat open in the Super Bowl. How honoring. That's incredible. But honestly, these tickets are really expensive. Like, they are thousands and thousands of dollars. You mean to tell me you couldn't find anyone to take her place? Like, you couldn't find, like, even a relative to just stand in for her? He said, no, none of my relatives could make it. And they said, why not? Because they're all at her funeral. Some of you will get that a little bit later. All to say, he didn't make the best decision on what was important in life. I know, it's a bad joke. I'm in the middle of a fast. There's no telling what I'm going to say right now. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, he wrote to the church of Philippi, he says, whatever was profit to me. Paul says, whatever I used to think was really important, all the things that I thought that I had to have, like all the things that I thought that I had to buy because they would make me happy, like I had to have that house and I had to drive that car, and all the things that I was chasing after and I was working so hard for that I felt would make my life matter, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Like, I've realized all of the stuff that I thought was so important, it's not important. He said, what is more, I consider everything a loss. Like, everything compared to the not just greatness, but the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. Paul's saying, listen, you know, there was a time where, you know, I resisted this whole God thing. Like, I rejected the whole God thing. Like, I wasn't buying into it. He goes, but now that I've tried it, now that I've tasted it, I've realized that my life isn't just better than my life was before. My life is actually surpassingly better than it was before. It's not just greater, it's surpassingly greater. He goes on to say, I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. I'm telling you right now, the only way you will ever believe this is true is when you try it. If you haven't tried this, if you haven't gone all in with Jesus, then you're looking at yourself thinking, well, that's rubbish. Like that doesn't make any sense. How can it be surpassingly greater? Because you haven't tried it. Like, you're never going to understand this until you try it. But once you try it, you're going to begin to realize. Once you go all in, you're going to begin to realize, my life isn't just better than it used to be. My life is surpassingly better than it ever was. You see, there's levels of Christianity. You just got to assess where you're at. There's like the first level of, I believe in Jesus. And then there's the next level of, I'll get to church when I can make it. And then there's the third level of, like, I'm going all in. Like, I surrender everything to Jesus, all to Jesus I surrender. So the first thing is, you got to decide what is important in your life. Here's the second thing. You got to give calendar time to those important things. You actually have to schedule it. You have to prioritize it. It's got to show up in your calendar if it's important. It's amazing to me how many people have values that don't show up in their calendar. Like, they say, this is very important to me, but it doesn't show up in their schedule. Can I tell you, you don't have a value if it doesn't make the calendar. King David, in one of his Psalms, chapter 90, says, teach us to number our days and recognize how few they are. Time is short. Time, we don't get that much time. It's short. So he says, help us to put into our calendar the important things. Help us to spend each one of those days the way we should. God, you have next steps for me. You have a purpose for me. You have a plan for me. There are things that are important in my life. Help me to spend each day the way you've asked me to spend it. So let me ask, do you start your week with God and then plan everything else? Like, does God make the schedule first and then you build the rest of your week? Like if you look at my calendar or my computer, every morning there's a little meeting that just says, God, that's my time where I pray and I spend time with God. And I put it into my calendar. I put my small group into my calendar. I put my worship time into the calendar, and then I figure out the rest of the week. How do you plan your week? Do you plan your week? Okay, what do the kids have going on this week? And then what do we have at work this week? And then, after you're done with that, we'll see if we can fit church in, or we'll see if we can fit God into our schedule this week. How do you plan your week? And here's why it's so critical to get it into your calendar. Things like prayer, things like reading the Bible. It's because of this. Daily disciplines compound into lifetime success. The most powerful force in the universe is compound interest. Let me ask you a question. What would your life look like in 5 years if you read the Bible every day? Just every day. Just gotten God's word every day. Not all day, every day. Not all day, every day. Like, what if you started with just 5 to 10 minutes a day? What if you made a commitment that if nothing else, I'm going to read my Bible for 5 minutes a day, every single day? What would your life look like in 5 years? I'm telling you, these daily disciplines compound into lifetime success. What if you just spent 5, 10 minutes a prayer a day? Not all day, every day. Like, wherever you're at, wherever you need to start, what if you just made it a point, I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to take some time every day to talk to God. Not all day, every day. What would your life look like in 5 years? What would your life look like in 10 years? Where would you be spiritually in this journey when you just did some things every single day? Because daily disciplines compound into lifetime success. Let me give you 3 areas to think about when you're planning out your calendar. 3 critical areas of your life. First is make time for renewal. Make time for renewal. You got to refresh your soul. You got to renew yourself. We're so tired. We're so worn thin. We have so much going on. Some of us are working way too hard that we have to have some time to renew ourselves, to refresh ourselves. It's what the Bible calls the Sabbath principle. Sabbath is when you take one day of the week off. You cease. You don't do anything that produces on that day for your career, for your business, for yourself. Now, you can go like mow the yard on your Sabbath. That's actually refreshing for some people who work in an office all week. Get outdoors, play some golf. But what would it look like if you took one day a week and you Sabbath? God created the world in 6 days, and then on the 7th day, he Sabbath, the Old Testament says. That's what it says in the Hebrew. He Sabbath on the 7th day. And just for those of you that have been a Christian for a while, this is a big deal to God. It's a gift from God for you. This is a gift to keep you healthy, but it's a big deal to God. It shows up in the top 10 with murder and adultery. Just letting you know. And here's the point. The Bible promises you, and I have absolutely seen this to be true, and I can prove it. The Bible promises to you that if you will work 6 days a week instead of 7 days a week, you will actually make more money and be more productive. The Bible promises you, and it is a spiritual truth that is absolutely true. And if you don't believe me, look at Chick-fil-A. They have the worst corporate business model in America for fast food companies, and they're thriving. Why? Because they Sabbath as a company. And it frustrates me because every Sunday I'm hungry, I'm craving Chick-fil-A, and I drive by, and they're closed, and I'm thinking, these darn Christians, like, what is up with them? But I'm telling you, this works. Make time for Sabbath. Second thing is you got to make time for relationships. Make time. The most important thing in your life after you find God is that you surround yourself with the right people. And this is exactly why we are passionate about small groups as a church, because we need to be intentional about who we surround ourselves with. We need to be intentional about who is in our life. And we're building out the spring semester right now. And some of you last week, you really feel like your next step is to lead a small group. You've been around for a while, and it's time to lead. It's time to step out and lead a small group. And I'm telling you, you will get more out of it than anyone else. You will grow more than anyone else. And so here's what I want to encourage you to do. If you've been feeling like it's time to lead a small group, email us at groups@coastlinechurch.org. The semester's coming up February 3rd. We will train you and show you how easy it is, how doable it is. It is not out of your reach. So I know a lot of people feel like, well, I'm not equipped, I'm not prepared, I don't understand the Bible enough. No, no, no. At least before you decide, at least come to the training and let us show you how easy it is. Let us show you how doable it is for you and how it would be one of the most beneficial things in your life to step into that leadership. We'd love to help you. And small groups is where our church, it's where the big church gets really small. Well, if you really want to look at small groups, it's the old-fashioned Sunday school program. And then the last thing I want you to think about is you got to make time for reward. Reward. Now, I don't mean like rewards here on earth. I'm talking about heavenly rewards. You need to do something every single week that is bringing you heavenly rewards. Why? Because every single one of you, every one of you, is going to stand before God one day, and that's an appointment you're not going to get out of. You're going to stand before God. And I got a responsibility as a pastor to prepare you for that day. And when you stand before God, God is going to ask you two questions. The first thing, he's going to say, what did you do with my son Jesus? Did you give your life to him? And then the second question God is going to ask is, what did you do with what I gave you? How did you leverage your life for me? What did you do with the time, the talent, the resources that I gave you? And then he's going to reward you based on that. And there is nothing wrong with living your life for reward. The Apostle Paul says, I'm running for a prize. Like, I'm working my heart out for the reward. I'm running for the prize. And I know you can get very super spiritual right now and say, well, we're all going to throw everything at Jesus' feet anyway, so it's all for him. So I don't need any rewards. We're all going to throw it at his feet. Yes, that's true. Everything he rewards you with, you're going to take and throw at his feet because he deserves everything. That is true. But I don't know about you. I don't want to stand there before him empty-handed. I want you to imagine what it would feel like to be standing before Jesus with nothing to throw at his feet because you didn't do anything for him. Your whole Christian life was take, 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 take. Jesus, save me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, bail me out of this problem. But you never gave back. That's going to be a sad place to be. The truth is, if you ever did this, you would discover it benefits you more than anyone else. Like, when you live your life for reward, you find joy. That's the philosophy of our dream team. Our dream team, they're not volunteering because they have to. They're doing what they were created to do. And every single week, our dream team is earning heavenly rewards. Every time they serve in the parking lot and they're making coffee and taking care of children and running cameras and working in the media booth, every week, they're doing that for heavenly rewards because every week there's an eternal difference being made here. And when these dream teams stand in heaven before Jesus one day, he's going to reward them for their faithfulness every single week. What's important? Again, Solomon, he said, I've seen everything. I've done it all. I've seen it all. Everything under the sun, it's all meaningless. It's not important. What are you living your life for? Now, let me give you two more that are going to be very quick. First, you got to eliminate the non-essentials in your life. There are things in your life, you know, your life is not better with that in your life. It's holding you back. Your life's not better with it. You don't need a to-do list for 2019. You need a not-to-do list for 2019. That's why Hebrews says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin. That's interesting. It doesn't say the stuff that hinders is actually a sin. It distinguishes it. Stuff that hinders is just a distraction. Sometimes there are good things in our life that are distracting us from our purpose. See, it's not always sin that's holding you back. Sometimes it's good things that are distracting you from your purpose in life. So you've got to decide, what is essential, what is not essential? Because I'm telling you right now, one of the greatest enemies of purpose is potential. There are a lot of things that I have the potential to do in my life that are not part of my purpose. And I can get very distracted chasing after fulfilling my potential and realizing my potential and living up to my potential and never accomplish my purpose as a result. Like, think about it. Like, some kid hits a home run in T-ball and all of a sudden someone's telling you need to put him in travel ball and taking your money. Right? Like, they got potential. They're going to go pro because they hit a home run in T-ball. And all of a sudden, our life is out of control because we got four kids playing three different sports, and every night of the week, we're running ragged, and our life is falling apart. And I'm not against kids playing sports. I'm not against any of that. I'm just saying you got to eliminate the non-essentials. You got to figure out who you are and where you're going. And then finally, regularly take an inventory. And that's what the second page of your notes is all about. This next step sheets, I am pleading with you as your pastor to take some time during 21 days and pray and fill that out. That's between you and God, but I'm pleading with you to take some time. It's the exact same one from last week. It's identical. Take some time, pray, ask God to give you some clarity in each of those areas, to help you identify next steps so that you can align with your purpose. And we regularly take inventory. We regularly realign our life. And so let me end this way. I mean, could it be that some of those areas of pain in your life is all because you're not aligned somewhere else? You got a marriage that's struggling over here because you're not aligned with your purpose over here. It's important. So I'm going to pray this over you. This is a prayer in the book of Psalms. King David prayed this. And I want to read this over you and in a sense pray this over you as we close today. David says, Lord, remind me. Remind me. Here's the truth. I didn't tell you anything today you didn't know. Nothing I said today was like a light bulb moment for you. Like, I've never heard that before. You've heard it all. You know you're too busy at times. You know different things. Like I didn't give you anything you didn't know today, but what I hopefully did is reminded you of some things you know. Remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered and that my life is fleeing away. My life is no longer than the width of my hand. An entire lifetime is just a moment to you. Human existence is but a breath. So if that's true, how do I align my marriage? How do I align my parenting? How do I align my finances? How do I align my calendar to the purpose that God has for me? Would you close your eyes with me for a moment? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray today that this would be a huge reminder. Again, God, this is not new stuff. We know this stuff. Sometimes we just need that gentle reminder, that gentle push, that gentle encouragement to do what we know we need to do. So, Lord, let us understand that our time is short and we've got to make the most out of it. So we need to know the purpose for our life and align with it, God, to live what you created and called us to live. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be in a place where you really don't know your purpose. Like, you've got a job and you kind of know some things that you're good at, but you really don't know your purpose. I can't encourage you enough this February to join the Growth Track. The Growth Track is what we've designed as a church as a catalyst to help you discover your purpose. And we will walk you through the process of really identifying what God puts you on earth to do and be. So join us in that. Would you stand with me? We're going to close with one song of worship as we always do. Our prayer team is going to be available. And our prayer pastor, Mona, had this thought this week. You know, every week, we have hundreds of prayer cards that are turned in. Hundreds of prayer cards turned in every single week. Here's a thought. What if, before you turned in the prayer card, what if you brought it down and let somebody pray with you before you turned it in? Because I believe one of the greatest things we offer you every weekend is a real person to just stand and pray with you. Like, yes, we're going to pray over every single card, but I'm telling you, it builds faith in your life when you stand together with somebody and agree in prayer over something. So I want you to consider today, instead of just turning in the card, why don't you come down with your card and just ask somebody on our prayer team to pray with you about whatever it is you're looking at, and then go turn in the card. And then if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you're not a Christ follower, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, but you'd like to do that, our prayer team would love to talk to you. And you know who you are because your heart has been kind of burning and tugging all service long. You feel like God is wanting to get inside. That's exactly what's happening. Come talk to somebody on our prayer team. They'd love to pray with you. We're going to close with one song of worship, and then we'll be out of here.